This AgriTalk podcast is brought to you by Acuron Corn Herbicide from Syngenta, which delivers 5 to 15 more bushels an acre than with any other herbicide. Acuron is a restricted-use pesticide. Acuron Yield Advantage range is based on 2016 Syngenta and university trials.
Is Syngenta bringing coal, or are they going to bring some grain buyers with them?
Welcome to AgriTalk, ladies and gentlemen. In for Chip Flory today is our host, Todd Bubba Horowitz, with a great show planned for today. I'm Mike Pearson, filling in for Davis Michelson on the news. Bubba, what is going on?
What do you say, Mike? What's happening over there at Zahner? Zahner Financial Services, what's going on, my man?
Well, I tell you what, we are just out there working with growers, trying to get things figured out here after this little bit of a setback the past day or so in the grain markets. You know, it might look like a buying opportunity for some folks to make some re-ownership decisions. Bubba, we're always out there looking at the markets every single day, just like I know you are.
Now listen, that's all I do. I sit in front of the machine almost 24 hours a day watching for something to happen. And we had some pretty good action, and then suddenly – today I turned my head and the grains were higher, and I turned my head, they were lower. What happened out there?
Well, you know, I think it's just a little bit of a setback. You know, we got a little bit overbought on this recent rally. We definitely saw some prices moving. We had very strong export reports this morning, and that was kind of the catalyst for this morning's action. And then the trade just got a little tired and kind of started puking up and, you know, doing a little short cover or covering some of those longs, I should say, and taking a little bit of profits. But with that's my take on the situation.
So someone said to me, they tweeted to me, and they said, I was bearish corn for quite a while, and they said, you suddenly got bullish corn in a hurry. Am I too bullish right now? I'm pretty bullish right now, corn. What do you think?
Boy, I would love to see it get back up and take out that 390 area in the March, but I like where we're going. I loved seeing the export sales, 1.7 million metric tons exported this week. Of course, we kind of knew that was coming. We knew Mexico was a huge player, announced last week on the daily reporting that they were buying roughly 1.1 million metric tons on last Thursday, I believe it was. But gosh, considering one of the huge drags in the corn market has been the slow export pace, the idea that we're finally starting to see some real movement now is phenomenal. A marketing week high in export sales. Bubba, that's something that's got to get this trade excited, and especially once those bushels start to ship off our coastline, or I guess get railed into Mexico, that should really be encouraging for a lot of the folks out there looking for reasons to get long or stay bullish in this corn market, don't you think?
Well, I'm long the corn market, and I don't care. And if it turns, if it changes, I'll change my mind. I'll get short. You know, you will talk about this a little bit later, but there's a difference between being a hedger, a trader, or an investor. And right now, I'm trading them, and I'm long them, and I don't mind. But I think maybe you should tell us what happened in the news today. Give us some info on the news, because I know we got Oliver coming up here, too, before the break.
Absolutely. So the big story, of course, to start the day was the export sales report. As I mentioned, corn sales marketing year high at 1.7 million metric tons on the corn side. We did get some bad news for biofuel producers and corn growers out of the Trump administration earlier today. They'd been hinting for a while that they were going to go ahead and roll with the EPA's planned plan for handling waived gallons from the renewable fuel standard. Basically, they're going to go with a three-year average of waived gallons going back to 2015 through 2018, and use that to calculate the RVO going forward. The biofuels industry was not thrilled with this. I know that the governor of Iowa issued a statement. They were not thrilled with this, but it sounds like today that was confirmed by the EPA. As we take a look here at the corn market, March corn contract closed down 75 cents to end the day at 386 and a quarter. Bubba, you are still long, you said.
I am still long, and you know what? They can take the Fed and the EPA, and they can put them in one group and get rid of them all, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, as we take a look down the market, at the wheat market, we had another very strong export report. Had 868,000 metric tons of wheat sold. Again, a marketing year high. A lot of strength there. We had a very diverse pool of buyers this week that helped kind of keep the market excited. We're seeing the dollar remain in its downtrend. All of these things are going to be probably bullish longer term in the wheat market, and they're going to help us narrow up that spread between KC and Chicago, which I know a lot of growers out in Kansas have been waiting for quite some time, Bubba.
You know, I know, and I, you know, listen, I think we had a little bit of a pullback the last couple of days in the wheat. We had such a big move on Monday that it was only naturally to a little bit of a pullback. I mean, the Monday was kind of out of crazy, right? We went like up 20 cents, and you figure a little bit of a pullback. And, of course, so I think we're going higher there. Listen, I'm long wheat, too, and soybeans as you get to them.
All right, well, we'll get to them next. Chicago wheat March contract dropped two and three quarter cents to finish today at 545.50. Looking over at soybeans, similar story. Very strong export sales earlier today. We saw China step back into the market, and really our export sales were at a three-week high earlier today. China continues to push their local crushers to buy more beans from the U.S. China was a buyer. They picked up 689,000 metric tons of soybeans this week, and we also had very, very strong shipments, which I know the trade was excited to see, because so often we get into a deal with China where they're willing to make the purchases and then they cancel or they roll the sales, and those beans don't often get onto the boat as we anticipate. So the idea that they are actually taking delivery is a really good news in the soybean markets today, Bubba. As we take a look at the January soybean contract, it did close down. It dropped 3.5 cents, but well off the lows of the day, and finished up at 925.
You know, I've been doing this for 40 years, Mike, and whenever we need something, China's always a buyer when we need some action in the market. And, they're going to be buyers. They're going to need them. And, of course, you know, my biggest contention this whole time has been we're just so oversupplied, it's hard to get anybody really excited. But I think we're now starting to see, even though the last couple of days have been a little bit lower, I think we're starting to see some excitement here. What do you think?
I do, too. I think we're getting ready for a pop one way or another, and I think it's going to be the upside. If I were a gambling man, that's where I'd put my chips. Speaking of moving to
Let's bring in Oliver Slocum. I don't want to make a cut. We'll come back. Let's get Oliver in on this conversation.
Perfect.
What's up, Oliver?
How are we doing today, Bubba?
I'm doing great, Oliver. What's the word, man? Tell me and Mike what's going on in the world out there.
Nice to see these grains finally kind of working off these lows a little bit. I wouldn't be surprised to see things die down as we get a little bit closer towards Christmas. Had a heck of a run. Corn kind of failing out at that 390 level, which is a 1,500-day moving average. But I think more significantly is previously important price points. It was a breakout point from the September 30th stocks report and then came support in the October report. So a lot of interaction between the bulls and the bears there previously. We weren't able to get a conviction close out above this, and now we're settling back in. I think we pulled back to 380. I think that mark higher lows, and we can kind of reverse the trend here and start to squeeze some of these shorts out of their positions. We've got phenomenal exports here this morning. Been talking about this for the last couple of weeks, seeing that trend shift as we go into the new year, and then we saw the start of that today. We just need to see that become more of a trend, and if we can do that, I think we could see the corn market back above $4 in a couple months.
So, you know, I asked Mike the question. I'm going to ask you the same question. So somebody said, you know, I was bearish corn and I turned bullish, and somebody said to me, I turned too bullish too fast. What do you think?
Well, I guess it depends on your time frame. The market is fluid, and as a trader, you've got to be fluid as well. So it's okay to flip and flop a little bit. I think that if you look a little bit longer out, 2, 3 months, 4 months, I think you're going to start to see this market rally, and I think you're going to be on the right side of it if you're on the long side, knock on wood.
What do you want to knock on my head again? You always like to knock on my head. You know, so we got I'm on the blue side of the card across the board and everything in ag now. What do you think?
Well, Chicago wheat, I'm a little bit skeptical of. The trend is obviously higher. We've been marking higher highs and higher lows, but I'm just not really optimistic about it in the 550 range, mid $5 range. That's not to say it can't go higher. I just don't think there's a whole lot of value there.
Farming is a 24/7 lifestyle, so anytime growers can increase their efficiency or kill two birds with one stone, as the saying goes, it's a good thing. Steve Gomm is the corn herbicide product lead with Syngenta. He's with me today. Steve, what are several things growers can do with an eye toward next season to increase efficiencies in their corn herbicide program?
Yeah, first and foremost, you really have to know your farm and its driver weeds. And what I mean by that are which are those weeds that are really causing a problem. And since these are always evolving, I recommend growers scout often and take detailed notes. And knowledge is power, as you know, and knowing what exact weeds are an issue should drive your corn herbicide decisions. It's important to choose a corn herbicide that has multiple effective sites of action, specifically targeted to those driver weeds we just mentioned. And if you're not sure about particular weeds or what's causing those problems, we really recommend you talk to your local retailer, and certainly they'll partner with our Syngenta agronomists or sales reps to help out.
Yeah, we're all looking for more efficiency here out there. What kind of efficiencies does choosing the right corn herbicide program offer?
Yeah, investing a little more up front for a quality herbicide is going to save you time and money in the long run. And cheaper, less effective herbicides can cause application issues or provide poor weed control. And everybody knows with poor early season weed control, you're going to lose yield, and those rescue applications are going to cost you more money and certainly time and application costs. Worse
so
yet,
what,
weeds that go to seed may spread resistance and deposit seeds into the weed seed bank, and we've talked about those long-term impacts of that.
Yeah, exactly. So what corn herbicide do you recommend?
Well, Chip, we recommend Acuron corn herbicide. It's the only one that unlocks your full yield potential because it controls those tough weeds other products are missing. And we know that when it's used at pre-emergent application at full label rates, it's going to give growers 5 to 15 more bushels an acre than any other herbicide. This means even if you're investing a little more upfront for Acuron, you're going to get that back plus some more in yield at the end of the season.
Very good. Very good. All right. Thank you, Steve. That is Steve Gomm, corn herbicide product lead with Syngenta, talking to us about how to maximize efficiencies in your corn herbicide program. Just a reminder to always read and follow label instructions. Acuron is a restricted use pesticide.
No matter what you do, you're always raising the bar, trying to do better than ever. Dalaro fungicide for corn and soybeans can help you get the edge you're looking for. Dalaro has a broader spectrum of disease control and best-in-class dual mode of action residual. Plus, it improves plant health, so your top-performing hybrids and varieties will have the protection they need to help you achieve your personal best yields. Dalaro from Bayer. Keep raising the bar. Always read and follow label instructions.
Soil needs plants to stay healthy, just like plants need soil to survive. Nature thrives on forming connections. Farmers thrive on forming them, too. With Indigo Marketplace, we're setting out to connect every farmer with every buyer, making it easier to find a market for the things that make your farm unique. Visit indigoag.com/questions to find out more. Indigo. From questions, we grow.
Sullivan Auctioneers is holding their annual year-end no-reserve dealer and farmer auction Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, December 19th, 20th, and 21st in Hamilton, Illinois. It all starts at 9 a.m. each day. This is one of the largest and highest quality auctions they've ever conducted, with over 50 combines, 60 tractors, planters, sprayers, tillage equipment, hay equipment, construction equipment, and much more. No on-site buyer's premium. Live internet bidding is available on all major items, and every item sells absolute with no reserve. Go to SullivanAuctioneers.com for a complete listing and sale order. Make plans to attend this auction now.
Pivot BioProven is the first ever nitrogen-producing microbe that supplies nitrogen directly to the plant, helping maximize yield. Just ask Zach from Oklahoma.
The average was about a 5 to 6 bushel an acre benefit. Not only is that more money in my pocket, but it's less money I had to spend on fertilizer and wear and tear on my side dressing sprayer.
Pivot BioProven. Get what you paid for. The nitrogen that stays put, weather or not.
You can't see them, but they're coming for your soybeans. Pythium, Phytophthora, and soybean cyst nematodes are serious threats, and they require serious seed protection. Valent USA has developed a 1-2 punch defense so growers can take the next step in soybean protection. Intego Sweet Soybeans has 4 powerful modes of action against insects and diseases that work in tandem with Aveo Easy Nematicide to stop soybean pests and diseases before they strike. Find out more at soybeanprotection.com. Always read and follow label instructions.
This just in from the front lines of the fight against tough weeds in soybean fields. Growers have taken the next step with the ultimate secret weapon. Fierce brand herbicides from Valent USA. These pre-emergence herbicides protect soybean fields with multiple effective modes of action, residual control that lasts up to 8 weeks, and fierce resistance management to help you win the battle against resistant weeds and the war. Ask your retailer or visit valent.com/fierce to learn more. Always read and follow label instructions.
If the world is your oyster, we've got pearls of wisdom on AgriTalk.
Yes, we do. And we got Todd Bubba Horowitz with Mike Pearson. And so, Mike, you know, we were so busy and doing so much talking, we couldn't get to what happened in the meets today. What happened in the meets today? It didn't look too bad, actually.
No, it didn't look too bad at all. You know, we did have a little bit of a correction on the live cattle side, which is completely expected. We're heading into 2 weeks of slower kills, holiday trade. We're going to have plants shut down midweek, both next week and the week after for Christmas and then the New Year's Day holiday. And we're seeing some box beef margins get a little tighter. Packers are trying to clean out their freezers. They're really just getting all set up for the new year. So, yeah, we are seeing a bit of a correction, but the good news is we're seeing convergence between futures and cash prices there on the fat side. We did see the February live cattle market drop 32.5 cents today, closed at 125.80. We did hear of some scattered cash trades at 120, so a buck above last week. Overall, pretty good news for the cattle market, especially considering how strong the kills have been over the past several weeks, Bubba.
Well, I think you're going a lot higher. So, I mean, I'm gonna write my ag report tonight, and I'm saying the same thing I said for the last, I don't know how many weeks, that I expect Feb to get to at least 130 as my next level that I'll be looking at, and I expect feeders to get to 150. So, you know, again, I'm pretty well over bullish the cattle in general. I mean, I just think that, you know, it's moving well, it looks great, and I don't know that I've ever seen a better chart than fat cattle.
Absolutely. And just the, oh gosh, 4 month rally we've been on this market. It's incredible. You know, we peaked it again here early this week, set a new contract high in the Feb, and that's what you want to see. That's what anybody who is long this market is excited to see. We've seen a similar story. Granted, it's not as extreme on the feeder cattle side. We did have January feeders up 25 cents today, closed today at 144.80. But all in all, a nice day. We're consolidating here. We're kind of range bound, but again, holiday trade, not a whole lot going on. The grind that interests me, Bubba, and I'm sure you are fired up about this market as well, especially post U.S.-China Phase 1 agreement, is the hog market. Every day, it seems like we just grind. We add another couple pennies. We add another dollar. Today, we had the Feb up $1.0250, finished at 70.92.5. And we don't even have huge news out of China yet, but that market continues to climb, which is good news. Although we did get some news out of China earlier today, they reported that the Chinese government is going to sell 40,000 tons of pork from their frozen pork stockpile ahead of the Lunar New Year holiday, because that is when another holiday season is when the Chinese consumer gets out there and buys a lot of pork.
Yeah, you know, I'll tell you, now, you know, I go back, if we go back, you know, just a couple of months, maybe 4 or 5 months ago, you're up at 100, right, a dollar. So I've seen, you know, and I'm not a big news guy, right? I don't really look at the news from China. All I look at is price. And to me, finally, we've had a couple of closes over 70 in Feb hogs. To me, that's now the green light to go ahead and start to get in here. I've been on the other side of it until now, but I think now is the right time, because this is what I've been waiting for. We had some, you know, we call it wild sweeping congestion, where, we, you know, you had up 3 cents, down three, you know, bang, 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 bang. And now here we are. So now I'm ready to step in and start to own some hogs here. And again, whether news or not, again, I am not, you don't know me that well, but I'm not a news guy. I never read the Wall Street Journal. I don't listen to any reports. When they come out, I have to call somebody and say, what'd they say? So I don't look like I don't know what I'm talking about.
As you're looking at the hog market, what months do you think are the most appealing right now from a chart perspective? What really jumps out at you?
Well, I think February finally looks great, because it just popped out. So to me, that's really, you know, I'm pretty much of a front month guy, you know, which, you know, actually, you know, so February, I think, but I think that, you know, overall the complex is starting to look good. And typically, you know, we had weak pricing in December, but typically December is kind of weak anyway. So it's not like it's a major shock, right? I mean, you know, it typically we get stronger as we go into the summer, get weaker as we get back into, you know, into December, and then start the whole cycle again. So I think we're looking really solid. And as you go out to, you know, to September, I mean, or to July, I mean, you were $89 hogs in July already. So to me, all things look good, and I think we're going to see higher prices. And again, I'm a big believer in price determines action, not the news, because I think in today's world and the fast flow of news, the markets are much more efficient than the news you actually get. What do you think?
I think that makes a lot of sense, and you can always look at the chart and see what's going on. And then a lot of times, as you were well aware, you kind of got to go back and go, all right, what could have been the catalyst? What could have been the news event that maybe got folks on the long side? But you're right. The price is going to tell the story first.
Right. So, I mean, again, I'm a big believer in price across the board, and that's, you know, I turn bullish, I turn bearish. So, you know, I was talking a little bit before, and I said, you know, I wanted to talk today, you know, everybody out there, that, you know, hey, you know, there's different types of trading, okay? And you do it. You guys over at Zahner Financial, you guys do different types. I mean, there's guys that trade like me. I mean, I'm a professional trader. I trade every day. You know, I trade, you know, I start Sunday night and I don't finish till Friday. And I'm trading, you know, not every minute because obviously, as you know, there's been very little action. But I'm willing to trade at any time. And I'm trading price and I'm trading either for a short period of time or for a long period of time. But if it turns out that I think I'm wrong, and what I use, you know, I have some proprietary algorithms. In fact, I run an ag portfolio that is just strictly all ag products, and it tells me to buy them or long or sell them, and it's only a daily signal. And I use those, and I use, of course, my 40 years of doing this in the first place. But now, you know, I think so. I'm a trader, so I'm going to be much quicker on the trigger. If I'm hedging, okay, I'm hedging for a purpose to protect. I'm not interested in trading it. So, what are your thoughts on those two things?
Oh, I 100% agree. But they are very different things. A lot of times, you know, we work predominantly with hedgers. We work with growers out in the countryside who are growing a crop, they're raising their cattle, and they've got a price level. They want to lock in a little black ink. That's where we come in, and you're exactly right. We can choose much bigger windows because we're not necessarily just looking to scalp for a couple of pennies. We're looking, okay, this is where a grower is profitable. Let's get a put in here, so we at least got some downside coverage, and then let this thing run a little bit and see what happens. We've got a little more flexibility, I would say, than a trader when your money's on the line and you make your living making those trades. You got to be quicker on the trigger, I would say.
Well, yeah, I mean, again, look, you know, I'm willing to hold, you know, I'm a big believer. I'm like a farmer at heart. I mean, I have farming in my blood anyways, but, you know, I would prefer to always be bullish than bearish, right? It's just the nature of the beast. And I'm always looking to find a reason to be long, but I'll hold. I mean, you know, we get prices cheap enough. I mean, I bought corn in the 90s, in the late 90s, at $1.86. Did you think I was ever selling this? I had it going right down. If we're going to stop eating, then I'd be in trouble, right? But I know that, you know, prices sometimes get so cheap and sometimes they get so expensive that you have to be aware of what you're trying to do and where you want to be hedged and how you want to protect the product. And that's always something that I look at versus an investor, you know, because, I mean, although, you know, you're never investing, you're investing in your farm, you're investing in the crop, but, you know, as far as investing your own personal assets into a long-term, like a retirement, that's an entirely different view of what you're trying to do, is it not?
Yeah. Well, yes and no. It is. It's all about managing that risk, you know, and there's just different ways to do it. Bob, as you're aware, when you're trading, you're managing your risk by trading in a lot of different markets at the same time often. And when you're hedging, you know, you're kind of trapped in one or two markets, and you just need to offset that risk, and you can do that on the board versus the physical. It's the same concept applied to different things, I would say.
Well, you think because I have 32 charts on my screen, I'm looking at a lot of different markets at one time?
I know traders are some of the most intellectually talented people. I can look at three screens, maybe, and even then, one of them better just be Twitter. When you got guys out there with eight screens going and they got charts open everywhere, I mean, that is just mind-boggling.
I got one screen that's got 32 charts on it. They're tiny, but I don't care because I only look when you can see they're getting active. I mean, that's, you know, when the markets start to get active and they start to move, then I hone in on an individual chart. I mean, I already have a general perspective of what I'm looking to see happen. But again, I think it goes back to the very simple fact: your trading is one type of playing the market. Hedging is a very important part, especially for farmers who are borrowing millions of dollars to plant their crops or take care of everything. They've got to have that money protected. And then, of course, if you're investing for your retirement, I mean, you know, in equities are a tool that if you had bought the high tick every time it made one of these big runs and never sold, you'd be up a lot of money right now.
Absolutely.
I do hedge as well. I mean, I hedge equities. I have an excellent program on hedging equities. But I do know one thing, okay, that even if you don't hedge them, for 150 years, the market is averaging 8.5% gain year over year for 150 years. So I don't expect that that's going to change anytime soon. So why would I want to change it? So again, those are the strategies that we talk about, and I think that's important for everybody to understand. But I think the biggest mistake, in my opinion, that farmers and producers make is they do not take enough care of hedging and protecting themselves, because you get some good prices. Look, you want to get long, you can get long off the board, but you got to protect what you're borrowing your money on, don't you think?
Oh, 100%, Bubba.
I hear music in my ears. I thought it wasn't supposed to be till 29. What's going on here? All right. So I think we're going to a break, but until you can't hear me anymore, I'm going to keep talking. But so again, that's a lot of things. We got a lot more to go, and we'll be back shortly, and we'll have Dan Vogt at the bottom of the hour. We'll be right back with more of we'll talk the Bubba Show next. Right back.
Tom Hemesath is from State Center, Iowa.
Well, I think we've got a better than average crop as we sit right now. We deal with a lot of different customers, and everybody's needs are a little bit different. So our job is to determine what the best course of action is for that grower and help them make decisions that move them in the right direction. Seed treatment takes a lot of worries off the table for us. We think that that's a way to protect ourselves and adds as an insurance policy to make sure that we've got the table set for really high production throughout the growing season. We had watched sudden death take parts of our crop over the years, and you can't do anything about it. You're just waiting to see how bad it is. Now, we had a number of side-by-sides where we used Olivo and the same variety without. The first year Olivo came out, we saw a 10-bushel yield advantage on a split-planted field where the customer used Olivo on part and not on the other. Once that came out and we got to see Olivo in the field, it was a pretty easy sell for me.
BASF, we create chemistry. Always read and follow label directions. Olivo is a registered trademark of BASF. All rights reserved.
Now it's time for Tech Talk and our friend Dan Vogt. What's up, Dan?
Hey, Bubba, I'm looking at March red winter wheat futures today. Soft red winter wheat futures have recently been leading the way higher, but the HRW charts are indicating some very interesting developments as well. In particular, the March Kansas City contract vaulted higher after breaking out above its November peak Monday, then stalled around $4.60 per bushel. That makes it look like a nice bull flag formation, implying the potential for a short-term fall through to the 485 area. What gives the move much greater meaning is looking at our longer-term chart, which shows it also topped its 200-day moving average Monday and has held above that level the past 3 days. This strongly suggests a larger advance may be coming.
All right, so you're looking for some pretty good action, right, Dan?
You betcha. I think a big bull move coming.
So we got the big bulls. Dan, have a Merry Christmas. It's great to talk to you.
Save time and capitalize on market opportunities with Pro Farmer's Daily Advice Monitor. Whether on your desktop or on your phone, visit tryprofarmer.com and get a generous one-month free trial. ProFarmer only focuses on the news that impacts the market, so you won't scroll through pages of articles to find what's really impacting your business. Plus, get full access to cash bids, charting tools, and more. Visit tryprofarmer.com right now. That's tryprofarmer.com.
I'm Andrew McRae, your host for Farming the Countryside. We're talking about issues, tips, and trends affecting rural and agricultural America.
And then it was a burden on the local office. Essentially, you just have our county right now, or PLC.
On each show, I talk with guests who provide the latest info on important topics and the challenges and successes on their own operations.
We had an open house and invited the entire community. It was a huge event. We had about 750 people show up.
The Farming the Countryside podcast is brought to you by Nutrien Ag Solutions, the world's largest provider of crop inputs and services.
5 conferences, 1 location, something for your entire team. Get ready. The 2020 Top Producer Summit is set for January 27th through the 30th in Chicago. This year's summit is a combination of the 5 highly regarded Top Producer Conferences, Top Producer Seminar, Executive Women in Agriculture, Tomorrow's Top Producer, Farm Journal Legacy Project, and for the first time, the Farm Journal Hemp Summit. Register today for Top Producer Summit at tpsummit.com.
3, 2, 1. Oh no. Which button am I?
When every second counts, you can't wing it.
Guys, a little help up here?
In a home fire, you may have less than 2 minutes to get out. So make a family home fire escape plan. Then practice home fire drills at least twice a year so everyone knows what to do when they hear. Prepare your family at ready.gov/firedrill. Brought to you by FEMA, the Ag Council, and Make Safe Happen.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors.
And that's the disclaimer, so I know it's time for me to talk again. Welcome back to AgriTalk After the Bell. Chip Fleury's out today, and it's me, Bubba, sitting in with Mike Pearson from Zahner Financial. So, Mike, we got, and if anybody wants to call us and say hello. It's 1-855-4-TALK-AG, 855-482-5524. I'm willing to talk to anybody, so give me a call. I'm lonely. I got Mike, but I'm lonely anyways. So, Mike.
Yeah, I'm poor comfort.
I got a couple of questions that some people had to ask. I asked for some people about they wanted to ask a question. So one was, and we kind of answered already, but I'll give you another shot at it. Do pork prices have a chance to go up? And, of course, yes, they do. They always have a chance. But it does look like they're getting ready to go up, right? That's what we talked about a little bit earlier.
Yeah, that's if I were laying money on the hog market right now, I would lay it to the upside. I think the demand potential is there. We're seeing China with a tremendous need for meat. We're seeing American integrated producers move away from ractopamine so they can get their pork into China. All of those things, as we go through 2020, I think bode well for pork demand going forward. Yes, I think we might not make it back to a buck, but I definitely think we're going to be on the upside here throughout the rest of this year, Bubba.
And I agree with that. I think we're looking pretty good. So now, I know you guys do a lot of stuff there at Zahner, and of course, someone asked me, well, what about gold? Now, I'll give you what I think of gold first before you give your answer, and I think that gold is right now working. First of all, I wrote this morning for Kitco. I said, to me, are the gold markets and silver markets even open? That's how slow it's been. Now, today, it looks like we might have tried to break out a little bit today, but I think, for me personally, I'm still bearish gold until it can close over 1490 basis on the February contract. But again, I want to remind everybody that just because as a trader I am short-term, I own gold in my long-term. I mean, I own physical gold. And I'm not selling that regardless, but I am short gold as a trader. What are your thoughts?
You know, I think you're on the right page. I mean, I think that we've just lacked so much direction in this market over the past, week, 10 days. It just seems like we can't catch anything one way or the other. The idea that the markets are completely dead is dead on. We're waiting to see what happens with China. We're waiting to see what happens with the Fed. We're just waiting for all this news. And, yeah, I mean, I think if there is a path of least resistance in this market, Bubba, you're exactly right. In the short term, it is probably to the downside.
And I mean, again, look, I don't have necessarily an opinion of which way I want to go. I mean,
right.
To me, I just want to move, right? I want action. That's what I want to see. I want to see the market move up and down all over the place because I could benefit on all those moves. So why wouldn't I want to see some crazy action? And, of course, we're coming to the time. I just came back from the rodeo. I was out there. I did my seminar out there last week. And, of course, it's coming time now for, starting to get ready to build those marketing plans for next year, right? And it's interesting how they're built. And I think, what are your thoughts on building the marketing plan?
It's got to start with the most key piece of information for any grower is knowing your cost of production. That's so easy to say, and it's so hard to do. I get why a lot of folks are kind of eyeballing it. But as soon as you can nail down your cost of production to the penny, or as close to the penny as you can get it, the better off you're going to be building your marketing plan. Because once you know that, now you know at what levels you can start to sell. Now you know at what basis points you can really start to lock in basis. You can look at the futures. You can work with talented brokers like we have, at the Zahner office or around the country. And you can really start to put things together to capitalize on movements before they happen. To me, the two biggest parts of a marketing plan are knowing your cost of production and writing it down so you're a little more willing to act on it when the markets do start to move in your direction. Because just like all farmers out there, I'm just as guilty as the next guy when I was raising cattle. Oh, once the markets start to rally, Bubba, there's always another dollar, right? And they're just going to keep running forever. That's the bullish bias that we all seem to have. And writing it down seems to help a lot of folks stick to it a little bit, and it takes some of that, it takes some of that greed out of the equation.
Well, I think, again, and I do think, see, you get your input costs right, and I always tell everybody, let's figure out what it costs us to do everything, and then add 10%, because you and I both know that something always goes wrong somewhere, okay? So if we take that, then we know exactly where we want to start to hedge at. We want to know where we want to be protected from. And I think that comes back down to always the bottom line is understanding what you just stated so eloquently, that we need to understand what our costs are. What's it going to cost me to put that crop in the ground? And I have to add to that because, of course, there's always something that comes along unexpectedly. And I think that's one of the biggest faults of all of us, is that we're not prepared enough for disaster. Now, again, I come from the school. Again, I was 30 years a floor trader, and I come from the school that the impossible happens once a month, but the improbable happens once a week. So you always have to be prepared for everything, and knowing, and if you're doing it correctly and you're putting yourself together correctly, you will never miss the next big market. And that's another error that I think many out there make, is they don't set the hedge up properly to catch the big market. We don't want to be out early. We just want to make sure that if they happen to go against us, that we don't have to panic and worry. And more importantly, we don't want to have the bank come in and panic and worry for us, because you know what they do, and then they force liquidation. It creates a lot of ugly situations. What are your thoughts?
Oh, 100%, 100% accurate. The last thing you want to do is get to a scenario where your lender is concerned, especially when we're in tight economic times like we're in now. We've already got lenders looking over our backs, trying to make sure we're doing everything we can to make our operating line payments. We need to be a little more aggressive in taking advantage of opportunities when they're there, and a marketing plan can help us do that. It can help us do it better than almost any other thing that exists in the world out there. And there are a lot of great tools out there online. There are a lot of great tools to help folks figure up their cost of production. And growers, let's take advantage of it. Now is the time to really be investing in that kind of efficiency on your operation, in my opinion.
No, I agree. Look, again, I believe that, you know, one of the things, you know, that we don't do well in this country in general is our personal financial literacy. And I think that always comes back to understanding how to be prepared for when things aren't good. You know, it's like they always say, Mike, everybody's a genius in a bull market, right? It's easy.
Right.
But it's the times when they get tough that we have to be prepared. And that's where I think, you know, again, I put together an entire high school program to teach kids financial literacy, because it bothers me so much that, you know, you watch these politicians right now, and what do they care about money, right? They don't know from hedging. They don't know anything. All they know is how to spend our money, because at the end of the day, whose money are they spending? They're spending yours, mine, and everybody who's listening to this show. That's the money that's getting spent, and we're getting robbed by these guys because they can't stop. You know, they can't follow a budget. They don't know how to put things together. What do you think about that?
Oh, I think it's 100% true, and I think on the personal level, I'm just as guilty, Bubba. I've got so much to learn about, you know, personal finance. I'm terrible about it, but I tell you what, when it comes to managing risk, that's a key component of doing business and of staying, you know, above ground, staying above water, keeping your head in the game so you can be there when that next bull market does come back around.
Well, that's for sure. Is, you know what, from a trader standpoint, again, I'll speak from my own personal standpoint. This is a big game, right? Everything we do has got a basis and a winner and a loser. And if you're prepared for it all and you understand how to manage the risk, you're going to be in great shape going forward. And I think that's what it always comes down to, is understanding where your risk comes in. It's understanding that, and I go back, I said this a couple times on air the last few times, but the Tyson fires, that was one of the greatest buying opportunities in a lifetime. Because
yes,
not only was it nasty, but it was ugly. And of course, the banks were in there firing and making everybody liquidate out because everybody was afraid. But again, markets aren't going to zero. I mean, these are not companies that are going to fail because they have bad financials or the CEO stole money. This is a real product. This is real food. And you know what's amazing? The ever-ending demand for food is going to continue because the population continues to get bigger and bigger and bigger. So why would I ever want to have to panic on a commodity that is going to be used each and every day? And we'll call it a consumable good.
Oh, for sure. Consumable goods, I mean, sell it or smell it. That's the old adage, and it's just as true in cattle as it is in any other commodity. If you let her sit long enough, it goes bad. So you got to be able to get her moved and get paid.
You know, I mean, again, I think that's so – again, we have to make sure that we put together a solid marketing plan. We have to make sure we have together a solid investment strategy for our retirement. Okay, although most of us work until we fall off the tractor. But again,
yeah,
we need to have all those things done, because at the end of the day, what are you really trying to take care of? You're trying to take care of your family as well. And I think that's where we also miss out a lot is because, again, if we're doing everything properly financially, okay, from the marketing plan to hedging, and if you do a little trading, and of course I know that most farmers do a little bit of trading. I mean, again, it's in their blood, right? We got, not only do we have, you know, 50,000 bushels in the ground, but we should buy another 50,000 bushels on the board, right?
And yeah, the old Texas hedge.
You know, hey, you know, and I have no problem with it. But again, at least know, you know, how to protect it and put yourself in a position. So if something does go wrong, because invariably something will go wrong, and if we're prepared for it, then it really doesn't matter. It allows us to stay in the game because, again, if you're a chart reader, if you're a technical guy like I am, okay, it's all about the math. It's all about the numbers. And that's what the markets are about. Every market is the same. And I think that's where people make a mistake. I don't care what China's doing. Again, I've never cared what China's doing. I don't care what anybody's doing. I care what the money is doing because at the end of the day, the money will tell us what to do next. So if you remember the old adage, you follow the money. The money will show you where the footprints of these markets go. And it doesn't matter what market you're looking at, because at the end of the day, all charts are the same. All patterns repeat themselves. And before we can get a bull market, it has to start in the very shortest time frame. So in a 5 or 10 minute chart, that's where the markets always start. And again, that's what I see. What do you see?
I think you're right. Yeah, bull market always comes from a bear market. You got to watch for that turnaround, Bubba.
We got music playing. You guys got to call us, 855-482-5524. I brushed my teeth and everything today. Give us a call after the break. We'll be back with more.
This is Brian Grady, Pro Farmer Editor and AgriTalk Market Analyst, inviting you to get more insight on today's market movers and what to watch tomorrow with Pro Farmer. When you visit profarmer.com/radio, we'll give you 1 month of premium analysis and advice absolutely free. You'll get the perfect blend of the marketing and policy information you need for your farming operation without feeling overwhelmed. Plus, we'll text you when breaking market advice is issued so you never miss a marketing opportunity. Visit profarmer.com/radio to start today. Unbiased and free of advertisements, you'll get our detailed, time-tested advice for cash marketers and futures and options users, along with our premium analysis to give you the information that you need. Visit profarm.com/radio right now to start your free month. It's fast and easy to start, and there's no long-term commitment.
It doesn't matter what you grow or how many acres you farm. Commodity Classic will help you become an even better farmer.
You don't have to be a big farmer to come here. You know, I could tell you a 1,000, 1,500 acre grower or a 500 acre grower is going to value these things, and he's going to do a lot better job when he leaves here. You know, it's going to make him more conscious of what's going on his farm than ever before.
Commodity Classic, February 27th through 29th in San Antonio. Visit commodityclassic.com.
Sweet strawberry icing. You're in Goodwill and just past that vintage denim jacket, you spot miniature donut earrings. You lean in. Ah, that's the scent of shopping success. Because at Goodwill, every item you buy funds local job training and more. So bring home those donut earrings and bring home so much good to your community. Goodwill. Bring good home. Brought to you by Goodwill and the Ad Council.
The mighty Prosaro, king of fungicides. Its fast action and long residual make it the keeper of grain quality and yield, the hammer of head and leaf diseases, the number one reducer of scab. When your goal is greater wheat quality and higher yield, use Prosaro fungicide, and the crown of higher profit will be yours. Learn more at prosaro.us. Always read and follow label instructions.
Sullivan Auctioneers is holding their annual year-end no-reserve dealer and farmer auction Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, December 19th, 20th, and 21st in Hamilton, Illinois. It all starts at 9 a.m. each day. This is one of the largest and highest quality auctions they've ever conducted, with over 50 combines, 60 tractors, planters, sprayers, tillage equipment, hay equipment, construction equipment, and much more. No on-site buyer's premium. Live internet bidding is available on all major items, and every item sells absolute with no reserve. Go to SullivanAuctioneers.com for a complete listing and sale order. Make plans to attend this auction now. 5 conferences, 1 location, something for your entire team. Get ready, the 2020 Top Producer Summit is set for January 27th through the 30th in Chicago. This year's summit is a combination of the 5 highly regarded Top Producer Conferences, Top Producer Seminar, Executive Women in Agriculture, Tomorrow's Top Producer, Farm Journal Legacy Project, and for the first time, the Farm Journal Hemp Summit. Register today for Top Producer Summit at tpsummit.com.
Soil needs plants to stay healthy, just like plants need soil to survive. Nature thrives on forming connections. Farmers thrive on forming them too. With Indigo Marketplace, we're setting out to connect every farmer with every buyer, making it easier to find a market for the things that make your farm unique. Visit indigoag.com/questions to find out more. Indigo. From questions, we grow.
Sometimes life is wonderful, and sometimes it's not. Cherish the good, but always be prepared for life's challenges. At Private Healthcare, we provide the peace of mind you deserve. With Private Healthcare, you'll get the coverage you want and healthcare you need. If your employer doesn't supply healthcare coverage and you don't qualify for Medicare or Medicaid, you need to give us a call right now. Private Healthcare is private health insurance for ages 65 and under with medical, dental, vision, and even prescription coverage. When life comes at you unexpectedly, you need to be ready, and health insurance is your financial safety net. If you're looking for health coverage at the best price and your annual household income is $35,000 or more, give us a call at 800-626-4910. That's 800-626-4910. 800-626-4910.
The chickens have come home to roost. Find out whose fence they're perched on today on AgriTalk.
I think they're perched on my fence. Welcome back to AgriTalk After the Bell. And, of course, you're subbing in for Chip and Davis as Bubba and Mike. And, Mike, we have a caller, and it's Brian from Ohio. What's up, Brian from Ohio?
Well, Bubba, Trump is my worst and favorite enemy. We are farmers, but we also run a machine shop.
Okay.
And our industrial output has been off the hook. I mean, the amount of orders we've been getting the last 6 months, we can't even keep up. And I was wondering, would people even notice recession with the unemployment, the amount of work that's not getting done? I mean, we're 4 months behind on stuff. Will it even matter?
Well, I mean, I think that I do believe that we are in the very early stages of a recession. You know, they don't announce themselves and they don't just show up
right
one day. I think you've seen, you know, a number of issues out there, starting from the repo rate, which is the overnight lending that banks do to each other, to some slowing in some manufacturing areas. But again, I mean, listen, we've had, you know, this free money market for so long that eventually you expect a recession. And again, I wouldn't, you know, I don't worry about recessions. I think those are natural parts of any economy. And the best, in my opinion, Brian, if the Fed would just let them happen, they would happen faster and they would be over faster. And we wouldn't be so worried all the time of when the next one is going to come. And I think that's one of the biggest things. But I do think we're in the very early stages. But I don't know how much of an effect it's going to have on individual business. But it will, the economy will slow for a little bit. And again, it's just a question of when we're going to see, you know, problems have a tendency to repeat themselves. And, you know, with the massive amounts of debt that are out there, not only talking about individuals, you know, car loans, auto loans, student loans, but also, you know, corporate debt is at majorly high. It's never been this high. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, add in the government debt. But at the end, again, you're strong. You sound like you're in great shape. So I don't think it would even affect you. You know, it might give you enough time to catch up on everything and start rebuild the pipeline again. But I don't think it's going to have a major effect unless they try to do too much to stop it. Because we know one thing for sure, you can't stop a raging river once it's trying to break through. It eventually it's going to get through, and that's always my concern.
I agree 100%, Bubba. I think you're exactly right. And, Brian, I would say what's probably going to be hugely beneficial for you, even though it's going to be a net drain on the economy as a whole, is the lack of skilled trades we have. You guys running a machine shop, I mean, that's going to be a fairly secure business because people just don't know how to do that stuff anymore. So I would say that, yeah, I think Bubba's probably right. You know, of course, we're going to see another recession, but, you know, I'd say you're probably in pretty good shape.
Yeah, we are. One more question, Bubba.
Go ahead.
Okay, so you know, a lot of people on Twitter, they blame the soybean sales on Trump and the tariffs, but looking at the Silk Road Initiative and all the lending that China does, they were planning on stopping buying from us anyways, weren't they? In the future, they weren't going to buy from us forever.
I always said that it wasn't the trade wars or the tariffs. It was really just the massive oversupply we've got. I mean, you have to remember, we have not had a crop disruption in this country for 5 years. So, you know, you can't keep building and building and figure that prices are going to continue to go up. And then you have other competition because really worldwide, I don't believe there's been any real disruption. And I think obviously that's one of the things that we need so that we can clean up our inventory. But I think this year, I do not believe, and from what I understand, the harvest is not as good as they were expecting. Even though the USDA gave us one number, I don't think it was as good as they say it was. And I think, again, that's going to bring us back down to that prices are going to start to rise, and I think we're seeing it. I think we're seeing the start of it now. So
all right,
that's my
good
answer, and I'm sticking to it. Brian, thanks for calling in, man. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Bye.
So, Mike, you know, again, what do you think? I mean, again, we're going to have a recession, and you can't avoid them. I mean, you know, it's not like, you know, nobody wants to have them, but I think the problem is that they try to delay them too much, which creates more issue and more debt and more problem. What do you think about that?
I agree. You know, it's part of the business cycle. One of the tenets of capitalism, one of the tenets of free market economies is that credit is going to flow to the place where it provides the best value. And a lot of times, as more and more credit flows to that place, that value gets eroded. But credit keeps going because that's where it's been going. And then things bubble. And then those bubbles pop. And then, like you were talking about, needing a supply disruption on soybeans to clean up the inventory. A recession a lot of times is good to kind of clean up some of that overinvestment in areas where, you know, perhaps there wasn't the greatest return. They're an important part of the business cycle, and you're right. The more we futz with them, the longer they get, and the more confusing they become, and they become tougher to navigate for investors or just general folks because, you know, all of a sudden the market signals aren't getting through.
Right. And I think when you look, for example, if you look at the equity market, I mean, equities are the only place in town for as a worldwide investment. U.S. equities, which is one reason we just go up every single day. I mean, you know, we've got overwhelming complacency here. It's like everybody thinks, you know, it's not the 90s. You know, remember, I'm not saying this is the 90s, it's the dot-com bubble, but it is very similar because only people know how to invest in the stock market. They just keep pouring it in and pouring it in and pouring it in. Eventually, the buyers run out and the money runs out, and that's the end of it. What do you think?
Yeah, that's exactly what's going to happen, and that's why I think we see the market get really worried every time the Fed ends one of its, you know, pseudo-quantitative easing programs, because then the concern is, all right, where's this next money going to come from to keep this thing climbing? And, you know, that's going to be a risk.
Well, now we have the not quantitative easing, quantitative easing. It's the new
right
program. But anyways, so as we wind it up, you got any quick thoughts in your head there from Zahner? Any good advice for anybody for the new year?
You know, it's a new year, it's a new you. Go ahead, make that marketing plan. Get aggressive on hedging. Let's capture some opportunities while they're in the market. Don't let them slip through your fingers, and don't think you just have to make cash sales to capture them. We can help you out using the board.
We can help you out, and of course, I teach it, so you can always reach out to me at bubba@bubbatrading.com, and would love to talk to you. You can call me, you can do anything, because you know me, I talk to everybody if I can. But you know, I want to tell everybody to have a very Merry Christmas and a Happy Hanukkah if you celebrate. We're coming into, you know, basically from a trader's perspective, tomorrow is a triple witching expiration, which is typically for guys like me the end of the year. So I would expect markets to be slow. But I wouldn't be surprised if we continue to see some higher prices in equities. And it would not be a shock to me at all if grains continue to go higher as well from here. again, it's going to be, it should be very quiet the next couple of days. So everybody out there have a very Merry Christmas, and I won't be back. And again, as a guest, also happy, healthy New Year and a happy Hanukkah. And again, I always appreciate sharing some time with you, Mike. I appreciate it. And to all you out there, have a Merry Christmas and have a great weekend. We'll see you next time when I'm co-hosting the show for guest hosting. Good night, everybody.
In farming, getting things done early has a way of setting you up for success, like using Corvus for an early season win over weeds. Corvus keeps even the toughest weeds from gaining a foothold. Multiple sites of action deliver superior control of emerged weeds. And later, Corvus reactivates with just a half inch of rain to take out any new weeds that may have sprouted. So get an early season win against weeds with Corvus for end of season rewards. Always read and follow label instructions. Corvus is a restricted use pesticide.
Mr. Chairman, as a corn root, I speak for millions of my kind who can't be here to defend themselves. Pests are stalking our stocks and undermining our roots. But we can elect to protect with a legacy of strength. Punchovotivo 2.0 seed treatment system increases nearby microbial activity to help us grow stronger. That's smart. Ladies and gentlemen, please, this is a corn roots movement. Ask your BASF seed advisor about Punchovotivo 2.0 seed treatment. Always read and follow label directions.
Thanks to Acuron Corn Herbicide for sponsoring the AgriTalk podcast. Talk to your retailer about how you can get 5 to 15 more bushels with Acuron. Acuron is a restricted-use pesticide. Acuron Yield Advantage range is based on 2016 Syngenta and University trials.